I really just want to, like, you know, share my knowledge and share what I think. And I really want to hear what you guys think. So the first one, the first mistake that people make is skipping the basics. Okay, so I know you've been on social media. You go to check your feed and you see couples. You see them doing stuff like going out to eat. You see them at the beach. You see them in the bed. You see them, you know, wherever. And, I mean, the first thought of you want to say, okay, we get it. You love each other, like... And the other side of you was like, oh my God, I really want to be in that moment. Like, I want to get that. And see, I understand that because I feel like that's an instinctual thing and everybody sort of feels like that. But I feel like the problem is that when people see pictures like that, they aspire to it and they want to get to that status like that. They want to get to that status so quick. They want to be in the relationship where, you know, they're together all the time and they're happy and they're moved in and they've had kids or they're on their way to having kids and they take trips and they do all this stuff like that and they're each other's soulmate. That's all good and dandy. But when you get in a relationship, you really have to start from zero. You can't start from 50. You can't start from 75 and thinking, oh, I'm just going to skip a couple steps and then we're going to be, you know, on our way to 100 and we're going to be together. We're going to be happy. That's not going to work. So This is one of the main things that people, you know, mistakes that people make. They skip the basics. So what I mean by that, I mean, when they get in a relationship, they automatically put so much trust. They put so much time. They put so much energy and they put so much of their attention into this one person, hoping, you know, to make up for all the time that they haven't spent with them. So then they can hurry up and get to that moment. So it looks like this. I've met Billy Bob 2 days ago. Okay, and now we're already talking about, all right, let's go ahead and let's spend the night. Okay, after we spent the night, let's go ahead and let's go on a vacation next week. Okay, now let's try to move in, you know, in a couple months. And I feel like a lot of times people, they want to aspire to what they've seen. And not only that, it's also because a lot of people feel like they have wasted time with the wrong partners. I know that a lot of people I've spoken to, they feel like they may have wasted years and years in a relationship that didn't work out. And now they're sitting around and they're like, oh my God, what I'm going to do? I'm at this stage where I want to be with somebody, you know, every single day, and I want to be with them for the long haul, but I don't have anybody to do that with. So let me get in a relationship and let me just see if I sort of force things or if I sort of rush things, if the pieces would just fall where they may. And that's not really healthy. So the best way to deal with this, starting with the basics, is basically treating that person as a friend. That's how I imagine, and that's what I started doing in my life, because I feel like, I mean, it is a saying, the best relationships grow out of friendships. And although that is true in a way, that's not why I say this. I say treat them as a friend, because when you're with your friend, you don't look at it as, oh, it's always you and me. You don't look at it as their choices affect me. You don't look at it like that. You're like, okay, well, let me listen to you. What do you have to say? Oh, this is what you have to say. Okay, this is my advice to you, or this is what I feel like you should do. But their decision ultimately does not affect you. And I feel like that's what everybody needs to realize when you begin a relationship. I don't want this to sound harsh, but when you begin a relationship, that person doesn't owe you anything. When you first start talking to that person doesn't owe you anything. I don't care what he or she has promised you. When you first get in a relationship, y'all have no, I'm not saying y'all have any loyalty, but to me, it's like, well, let me back that up. I don't mean like y'all been talking for, you know, for months and then y'all get in a relationship and that person doesn't owe you anything. Yes, that person does owe you something. I mean, when you first start talking to somebody looking for a relationship, that person does not owe you anything. If I just met you 2 weeks ago, I don't owe you anything. If I met you a month ago and we have not came up with any type of plans or any, you know, oh, what are we doing? If we have not had that conversation where we're like, you're mine and I'm yours and we're going to work on this, I don't owe you anything. And so I feel like when you start off as friends, you get to know them more. You get to ask, does he have any goals? Does she have good credit? You know, is he a hard worker? Does he have kids? And if he does have kids, does he treat his kids right? Does he take them out, you know, to the park? It's not about, oh, he has kids. How is that going to affect my life? No, treat him as a friend. Treat him as you would if you was unattracted to him and, you know, maybe he was just a coworker that you know and y'all maybe hang out. Don't treat the person that you just started talking to, don't treat them like you've known them forever. I think that's the problem. People treat people that they just met like they've known them forever. And they put so much expectations and they put so many of their standards onto them. And oftentimes, they're not going to live up to them. I mean, if I just met you, how can I live up to all of these hopes and dreams that you've been having for probably your whole life? And so I feel like that's something that everybody needs to work on. And I feel like social media doesn't make it any better because when you see all these couples and stuff, you're sort of like dangling a carrot. And, you know, humanly, you know, it's a human thing for us to try to, you know, make it work. And to find that type of joy that we see in the photos in our own life. As well. Sorry. As well as skipping the basics, I feel like another thing is that when it comes time to hanging out, when it comes time to talking, a lot of times people, they want to invite everybody. And that's fine. You know, if I'm talking to Brandon and we just started talking maybe 3 weeks ago and I say, oh, well, you know, you want to come to this bar with me? My friends are going to be there. And he's like, cool. Yeah, you know, whatever. And he brings his homeboys. That's fine. Nothing is wrong with that. I just feel like when you first start talking to somebody, you should treat them as a friend, but you should also make use of the time. Think about it this way. If I've known somebody for 3 months, would I rather spend at least three days with them out of each week of those 3 months? And that will equal up way longer too if I've known them for 3 months, but we don't hang out. So it may take you 6 months to get to where y'all would be in your relationship if y'all actually spent more time together. And so I think it's also about communicating. That's a huge thing. If you don't communicate from the beginning, you're not going to communicate when y'all are 2 years, 3 years in. I don't know why people think that it's going to change or it's going to get better. No, relationships, sad to say, most of the time, I'm not saying they go downhill because they can go uphill, but a lot of the time if they start out rocky and you don't address them, the issues right away, they will go downhill. But like I said, treating somebody as a friend, getting to know them, spending time with them, talking to them on the phone, you know, doing basic things that's not, I guess, considered to be a boyfriend girlfriend thing, hanging out, going to the park, walking, you know, around the block, just doing things that's not so put so much pressure and put so much, oh, this is a boyfriend girlfriend thing. And the reason why I say that is because people get so caught up in the moment of, oh my God, he bought me these flowers. Oh my God, he took me out to the most expensive restaurant. Yes, but what did he say to you when y'all was at the restaurant? What did y'all talk about? You know, did you have a connection? Do you like those flowers? You know, and you know, was he on time? Was he nice? Was he sweet? Was he a gentleman? It's not always about the action. A lot of the times it's about what surrounds the action, what that person makes you feel, what that person can add to your life, not only physically, but, you know, mentally and emotionally. And, you know, how much can you say you really know about that person? And I think the first couple months when you meet somebody is very, very crucial, because if you just met somebody and for the first 3 months y'all are, you know, playing house and acting like y'all, you know, are married and y'all know each other so well, and then when it actually gets down to the nitty gritty, y'all can fall apart. Y'all can really fall apart because y'all didn't spend, you know, that time actually getting to know that person, getting to know their soul, getting to know their interests, their dislikes, their likes, what ticks them off. If you spend enough time with somebody, then I don't care which, you don't have to spend a lifetime with somebody to know them, but you do have to spend real time with them. You can't be in fantasy time. You have to spend real time with them. They can't be playing the Xbox and you are just sitting in the background and y'all count that as quality time. That's not quality time. Quality time is one-on-one time, okay? It's you and me time. It's you and I time. It's me and you time. That's quality time. It's us. And so though I said treat each other like friends, on that same token, you have to spend enough time with them. You have to ask them questions. Not only the basics, okay, his favorite color is blue. All right, his middle name is Jeremy. Cool. But I want to know, you know, what kind of person are you? What, you know, I'm not one that always like to reflect on the past, but if the past is a big part of your life, if that's something that you want to talk about, we can talk about it. We can go there. How do you feel about politics? Global warming is crazy, right? You know, I love Barack. Are you a Democrat? Are you a Republican? You know, different type of things that people wait too long to talk about until you're 10 years married and you just figured out your husband is Republican. Like that thing, that's crazy to me. You should have known that way before y'all even started dating to me. Me, dating doesn't start until I know who you are. I think that's how it was supposed to be all along. We get to know each other. And then if I like you, then we're in a relationship. Not we become in a relationship and then we decide if we like each other while we're in the relationship. No, that's not how it should be. So that's the first one. Getting to the basics. Just getting back to how it was supposed to be. I feel like back in the, you know, especially back in like the 80s, the 70s, especially the 60s, but mainly the 60s, you know, the 60s and, you know, 60s to the 2000s, excuse me, everything was sort of slower. People just, you know, went slower. And I know it was before, you know, a lot of the internet, was before all this other stuff and all this industrialized, you know, technological stuff. But before, everybody was just slower. Everybody just took their time. Everybody did one person at a time. Everybody, you know, really cared about quality time. If it was nothing else to do in the world, if it was nothing else, if it was nowhere to go, you know, sitting in this room, what we talk about. And I feel like that's actually sort of relevant today, because now with this whole coronavirus stuff going out and the quarantine here, I bet you it's a lot of couples out there that thought they knew each other, thought they, you know, had a great relationship, and they might be stuck together now because of this whole quarantine mess. And they're really starting to getting to know, oh my God, he does that when he's in the bathroom. She cooked like this. Oh, that's so nasty. Like this kind of stuff. Like you really starting to figure out things about your partner because you didn't take the time before, because you wasn't forced to before. But now with this whole stay at home order and shelter in place order and stuff like that, people are really starting to realize who they are in a relationship with, who they are married to, you know, and some of it is good stuff. Some of it is just reinforcing what they already thought. And some of it is a shocker, like, oh, my God, I did not know this man did this every morning when he woke up. I don't know what it is. So that's the first thing. The second thing is having an open mind policy. You know, the open door policy, I call this the open mind policy. And to me, all of these things are sort of, you know, related, and there are similarities in some of these things, but each one has their own different outlet. So an open mind policy. So this basically refers to not comparing and judging. That's something that everybody does. I do it. My friends do it. My mama do it. My sister do it. My brother do it. My dad do it. Your grandmama do it. Everybody does it. And I understand that. It's in our human nature to, you know, to judge a situation, to, you know, come up with a theory about something. And, you know, that's fine. But I feel like going back to skipping the basics, when you view somebody as a friend, you don't really judge them as much as you would if y'all were in a relationship. If you were in a relationship with somebody, hell yeah, I'm gonna judge your ass, because me and you, like, whatever you do, it's affecting me. But if I view you as a friend early on, I'm not gonna judge you that much. I'm gonna give you that benefit of the doubt. I'm gonna give you that space. I'm gonna give you that understanding, and I'm gonna give you that time to explain yourself so I can really, you know, determine, like, oh, he was just in a bad situation, or you know, she was going through something then, and, you know, I've been through it, and, you know, that kind of thing, before I just write you off, before I put a, you know, a tally or a mark over your name. So I feel like a lot of the times when we first meet somebody and, you know, they tell us, oh, yeah, I've done a couple years in the in the penitentiary, or yeah, I don't have a car right now, or yeah, I'm divorced. I feel like a lot of times when people tell us that outright, we don't really know what to do with those feelings. We don't know what to do with that confusion, except attack, except say, oh, he ain't for me. Except, oh, I'm not dealing with no jailbird, you know, or except, you know, for actually being understanding, we really sort of just deflect because we don't really know what to do with that. And I feel like the main thing you can do with that is just say, tell me about it. Explain to me what happened. How did you feel? Why did you get a divorce? What are the main reasons for your divorce? What is something that you hope to find in a new relationship that you didn't have in your old relationship? Because I feel like everybody has a story. Everybody has baggage. And if everybody was going around judging everybody about things that they did in the past or things that they have witnessed or they have seen, then nobody will truly be, you know, truly accept anybody. It's about acceptance. And so I feel like a lot of times you need to have these conversations early on. If I'm with a guy and he went to jail, I would want to know that early on. But I wouldn't judge him for it. I would want to know first what's going on. I would want to talk to him first. And that's the problem. A lot of people don't want to talk. A lot of people don't want to listen. A lot of people don't want to give people the benefit of the doubt. And I feel like that's something that is lacking a lot, especially in this generation. We want everything for free. We want everybody to tell us their deepest, darkest secrets, but without giving them the benefit of the doubt first. We want to, you know, spit in their face and tell them to clean it up, and then we'll talk to them. That doesn't make sense to me. I feel like a lot of times as well, you know, when you're with your girlfriends and you're out and you're about and, you know, she say, yeah, my man just bought me this car. And you like, my man ain't shit. He ain't bought me not nothing. And if that's the case, then, hey, I'm not saying that you need to keep him. Only thing I'm saying is that a relationship is a relationship between two people. It's not a relationship between you, your boyfriend, and your homegirl. And so I feel like a lot of times people, they always want to compare what their girlfriends got, what they, you know, oh my God, you know, yo dude, how you get that girl? Like, she's so bad. Like, oh, but her cooking is trash. Like, everybody has flaws. Everybody has, you know, strengths and stuff. I feel like a lot of times if you want something from your partner, a lot of times people, they want to scapegoat it, and they want to start comparing and judging, you know, and saying, oh well, Latrell's girlfriend got this, you don't got this, instead of coming out and asking, oh hey baby, I was thinking, you know, could we try this instead? Instead of making them feel more insecure about what they lack and asking them, can y'all build together for your future? So I feel like that's a lot of times comparing and judging can be something that makes a big difference. Everybody do it. Everybody does it. But it's how you react to that first judgment. That really depends on the outcome. You can turn a negative situation into a positive one, or you can turn a negative situation even into an even more negative situation. And so it's really about when you see something, when you feel something, when you hear something, stop, think, and then ask them to explain. Ask them to make you understand and give them the benefit of the doubt. Because to be frank, if it's not meant for you, it's not meant for you. If he or she says something you do not believe, or he or she says something and they are truthful, it's just not what you wanted to hear, then all by means, do what you got to do. But you going around judging people is not going to get you anywhere. I'm telling you, because you would not want somebody could judge you about anything, and everybody has a past. Everybody done something. So, you know, I feel like if everybody's, you know, flaws was literally written on their sleeves, I feel like we would be forced to sort of recognize that we all have issues, we all have flaws, and by demonizing somebody else's, it's not making you any more closer to finding somebody. So that's the second one. The third one is striving for authenticity. I know how to say that word. Striving for authenticity. So basically, this is superficial over authentic. I've been in plenty of relationships in my day. I talked to my friends and my sisters about their relationships, and I mean, that's what girls do. Girls just talk. But I've talked to them, and I talked to my brothers and my male friends and my female friends and everybody. And I feel like this is one of the key things, because no matter if you met this guy yesterday, no matter if you've known this guy for 10 years, if it's superficial, it does not matter how long the time is, you're wasting it. You hear what I'm saying? No matter how long the time is that you've known this person for, if it's a superficial friendship, a superficial relationship, a superficial situationship, or a talking ship, or whatever you want to call whatever you guys have, if it's superficial, you're wasting your time. And if it's authentic, it does not matter how long. You could have met him yesterday. And if it's authentic, if it's right, if the feelings are there, if the emotion is there, if the, you know, person is there, if the personality, you know, the dreams, if the hopes, if the ambition is there, then it does not matter if you just met him yesterday. Because it's a promise of meeting him again tomorrow. If you've known him for 20 years and it's authentic, then hey, great. You just won the jackpot. Because a lot of people cannot say they have been in an authentic relationship for 20 years. So with this subject, superficial over authentic, I really want to talk about people who pretend to be something. People who are scared to show their true self. People who don't want to seem weak, don't want to seem shy, don't want to seem judgy, don't want to seem spoiled, don't want to seem arrogant, cocky, whatever it is. I feel like a lot of times when you're in a relationship, and I've just now figured this out for myself, because I can say I've never really had an authentic relationship. I had a lot of authentic friendships with some really great guys, but none of them have been, you know, I've never been in an authentic relationship before. But I can honestly say that trying to be something you're not is fun. I'm sorry. It's fun. Like, you know, seeing how far you can go and seeing, oh, you know, did he believe me? Or, oh, like, I mean, I'm believing myself. Like, that, I'm not gonna lie, it can be fun, like, trying to, you know, figure out, could you be this person? You know, I'm not this person, but do I want to end up being this person one day? So let me just see, you know, how it's gonna feel. But I really do feel like it's a hindrance. It's something that will really hold you back. Be yourself. I do not care. Be yourself. I can't say this enough. If you are with him and you literally have to use the bathroom, go use that bathroom. Okay. If you are with him and you know his house is a mess, politely tell him, sir, your house is a mess. I will help you clean it up, but your house is a mess. If you are with her and she can't cook, tell her, sweetheart, you can't cook. Now, we can either try to do this together, you can try to do it on your own, or we can simply get takeout, okay? If you are with him and, you know, he spends too much time on the game, tell him, sir, I'm going to need you to do something about this. I'm going to need you to have your designated times that you play the game, and I'm going to need you to have your designated times that you play with me, because you're not going to do both. Whatever it is. I don't even know. I just made something up. Okay, I wasn't prepared all the way. But only thing I'm saying is that you're not going to get anywhere by pretending to be somebody else. You're not going to get anywhere by trying to hold off your personality because you don't know if it's too much. That I hate that notion in society now, where men do it too, but a lot of women do it, where we suppress ourselves. We suppress who we really are. You know, we don't go in for more food on the first date because we know, oh, I don't want to seem fat. Let me get a salad. No, baby, I'm getting a burger, a big double cheeseburger, okay, with lettuce, okay, pickles, mayonnaise, and I'm getting some fries. Oh, and a shake, okay? you know, that's just how it is. And I feel like this whole notion of, you know, suppress who you are, or to, you know, to mask the real version of yourself, is really limiting and is really stupid. Okay, this person, if he never sees the real you, then what's the point? I'm sorry. What is the point? I don't know if people think that they get further that way. But that's just really deceiving yourself and him, or yourself and her. And I do feel like, I honestly do feel like being authentic is no downfall to being authentic. I will tell you that if you are authentic and that person does not want to be with you because of that, then that's the perfect definition of not right for you. That is the perfect definition of it. And by you being authentic right away, you save yourself a lot of time, because then you figured that out right away, that he wasn't meant for you or she wasn't meant for you. But if you spend all this time being superficial and then one day you really want to show your authentic self and you wasted, what, 2, 3, 4, you know, plus years, you know, being superficial. When if you would have just been your authentic self from the get, he would have, or she would have known, oh, I don't like you, you know, you doing too much, or you're not doing enough. And you would have said, deuces, I'm about to go find somebody else who likes my authentic self. And so authentic self is everything ranging from natural hair, to the way I talk, to the way I walk, to the way I speak, how fast I reply, where I like to shop, what I like to eat, how I dress, what shoes I wear. Oh my God, I tell you, black men and their shoes, they are so hung up on Jordans. Okay, I don't even know all the Jordans, okay? Because I don't really care about that kind of thing. But, you know, what kind of shoes I wear, you know, where I work, how much money I make, who am I? That's authentic. Superficial is who you think you should be, how you think you should act, how you think you should dress, or how somebody else tells you you should dress, how somebody else tells you you should act, or how your friend got a guy. Oh, yeah, my friend Shirley, she got her man because she was cooking. My friend Jennifer, yeah, she became a stripper and she found a man. Oh, yeah, my friend, Latasia, she worked at a car shop. She knows stuff about cars. That's how she got a man. That's cool. If that's their authentic self, then I'm happy for them. But find your authentic self. Don't, and it's not because of a guy, or if you're a guy listening to this, it's not because of a girl. You're not here to find your authentic self for a guy, because then it won't be authentic. Authentic is who you are. Find yourself. And now that we're amidst the coronavirus, it's no better time to do it. And I know some people are still working, and I know some people, you know, are going through a really, really tough time right now. But I feel like through turmoil, triumphs can really happen. And not only, you know, in the physical sense, but within yourself. It's stuff that I've been figuring out, you know, about myself in the past couple weeks. And I've really just been amazed of how much I, you know, realize about myself. And I'm like, oh my God, Jamila, you do this. Like, you have done this like 2 times today. Like, you do this. Like, oh my God, who knew? And so I feel like superficial over authentic is something that nobody can really teach you how to do. I can't tell you this is how you do it. I can't tell you this is where you start, but I can tell you, you gotta want it. If you don't want it, I can't want that for you. I can't want you to be authentic and you become all of a sudden authentic. I can't do that for you. You gotta do it for yourself. So if you wanna be authentic, and not for a relationship, but if you wanna be authentic for yourself, get back to your roots. I don't know what those are or who you are, but get back to your roots. Go out, you know, into nature, spend time alone, listen to music, exercise, walk around the park, just think, write stuff down, sing, rap, jump, dance, act, cook, whatever you do, do it, okay? And find who you are, because you can never offer anybody something if you don't even know what you're giving up or what you even have to give up. So think on that. The fourth one is communicating about wants, needs, hopes, and dreams. Okay, so this is a big topic. Okay, so I don't know why I really got excited about this topic. Okay, a lot of times in relationships, things are left unsaid. A lot of things. And sometimes it's by both people. Sometimes it's by one person. And I don't know which one's worse, but I will definitely say from experience, I know that when things are left unsaid, when things are left unfelt, it can really mess with your mind. And it can really mess with your life. When you feel like you have to do something a certain way, when you feel like, oh, this is for us, I'm doing this for us. He wants to do it, but I don't know why I'm doing it. I don't know why I'm doing it. But he's doing it because of his own reason. So I'm just going to go along with him. I seen this thing on social media, and I don't know who said it. So I'm not copywriting this, but I saw it, and the person said, they said something along the lines of how they're tired of women talking about, you know, they want a relationship or they want this with a man and they don't ask for it. And they said that you need to ask for it. You have the power in your relationship. It's two people in a relationship. Sorry, it's three. It's you, your significant other, and God. And with the strength of God, you have the power to communicate what you would like with your partner. And it goes sort of like this. Hi, honey. How are you today? I know that we have been going out a lot to eat. You and I have both been tired. We've both been working a lot, and I understand that. And I've been wanting McDonald's, and I've been wanting Chick-fil-A. The waffle fries with Chick-fil-A sauce is on point. However, I really do think that we really need to be saving money right now. We have a lot of bills and we really need to be saving money. So can we come together and, you know, maybe, you know, get a grocery list together and maybe, you know, figure out a way to make meals together and or to take turns making meals and just make it more affordable to actually eat and stop eating out. That is a great way to talk to your partner. Talking to your partner about something that you want, something that you need, something that you're lacking, something that you wish he or she was doing less of or doing more of, or a space, if you need space. A lot of times people, they don't want to ask for space. And me, I'm a big space person. I am not a clingy girlfriend, and I don't like that word clingy, but I didn't know another word to use for it. I've never been a girl that's going to always be up on you. And that's just me. And so, I've never been, you know, a clingy type. But I've always wanted my space. And I've never had a problem with telling guys that. A lot of times they are confused. Like, what? What girl wants space? Like, what? You know, and they think I didn't like them. And that wasn't the case. Well, that wasn't the reason why I wanted space. It's just me. I just like space. Like, I like to be by myself a lot. And it's a lot of internal things. I like to reflect. I like to spend time with myself and, you know, continue to get to know myself. So I spend a lot of time by myself. But asking for space is something that people deem it as something that is just like, oh my God, you asking for space? Are you asking to break up? They think if you ask for space, you want to break up. And I mean, some people who ask for space may want to break up, but I'm saying that's not always the case. You know, a lot of times when people got a lot of stuff going on, you know, in their at their job, they got a lot of, you know, family stuff going on. Sometimes people just need some space and they need to get their self together before they can, you know, they don't want to bring their issues to the relationship. They don't want to bring their problems to that person. And sometimes their significant other cannot do anything to help them. And so they might need to figure things out for a little bit on their own. And you got to give them that space. Or if you're the one who's needing space, you have to ask for that space. A lot of times people give up their dreams to accommodate their partner's dreams. And while though that is really nice and noble, it's really not doing y'all's relationship any good. If you give up your dreams to help your partner's dreams and it's not a shared dream, then it's not going to be beneficial, because eventually you're going to end up resenting that person because they're going to get what they want and you didn't get what you wanted, and you wasted years and you wasted time and you wasted money all on them. People, they want to think that this is a selfless world, but you gotta go to sleep proud of yourself. You gotta go to sleep happy with yourself at night. And if you have not been happy with yourself when you go to sleep because of relationship, because of something that he wanted that you wanted to give to him, or she needed and you needed to give it to her, and that's the reason why then the relationship is not working out, and it's not, you know, a full breakup maybe not be the best option, but maybe a break is. And full disclosure, this is not trying to break up relationships. These things that I've compiled is not to break up you guys' relationships. It's just to let you know and to get you thinking about how your relationship went. From when did I meet him? How did I meet him? Where did I see myself with him, and where am I at with him, and how can I get to where I want to be? How can I use my voice and my power in the relationship to see it go where I want it to go? And a relationship is 50-50. So you have 50% of the votes. He has 50% of the votes. And a lot of times people don't think, they don't think it's that way, but it is that way. And if it's not that way, then that's not a relationship. That's not a relationship. Y'all are not in a relationship if he has more votes than you or she has more votes than you. So communicating, talking, you have the power to tell him where you want it to go. If you and him are just speaking or just talking, sorry, I said speaking. If you and him are just talking, y'all been talking for a couple weeks now, and you're like, hey, John, I really enjoy talking to you. You are, you know, you are very, very nice. You're very sweet. And you are just very, very easy to talk to. And I was really hoping that me and you can actually move this up a notch and take our, us talking into actually dating, being in a relationship, being boyfriend and girlfriend. People don't do that anymore. People don't just come out and say what they want. People expect the other person to say it, to ask, to just automatically know and automatically assume that's what they want. And when they don't, they build up this little anger. It's like it's a resentment, but it's something else. It's like, it's a sadness and it's disappointment. And it's all these feelings that they feel like they didn't have control over. You have the control. Instead of waiting on him to say something, you can say something. Men don't always have to be the first one to say something or to ask something. Women can do it too. And so asking your guy, hey, you know, I really enjoy your company. Can we hang out more often? If we don't see each other that much, I want to hang out on a more regular schedule. Or can we dial back? I have a lot of stuff going on right now. You mind? We've been hanging out every day. Can we dial back? Or, whatever the case may be, I think communicating is a huge thing. And if you don't know how to communicate with your partner or your friend or your talkership person or your situationship person, if you don't know how to communicate with them, then I think that y'all have to really start all the way over. And I mean all the way over, back to the first steps, the basics, getting back to the basics, because that's the stage where you guys should be learning how to communicate. Learning, oh, this is how, you know, this is what he likes. He likes me to be direct, or he likes me to be subtle, or he would like for me to do this. This is how we communicate with each other. In the basics, you learn a lot of things that y'all might not say outright, but spending a lot of time with them, you learn a lot of things about how y'all communicate with each other. You learn a lot of things about how y'all come to compromise with each other. And so now if you're at the stage with communicating, when you're actually in a relationship, it should be like a walk in the park. It should be easy to talk to your partner. And if it isn't, that's the issue that you guys are going to have to address. Okay, so that's communicating. The last one is something, and it could have been, I could have did that one earlier, but this happens pretty often, you know, in the beginning of relationships, the middle, and sometimes in the end of relationships. And I am an expert at this because I have done this. So the last one, the fifth one, is guard up, having your guard up. I was raised by, of course, a mama and a daddy, and I have 5 older siblings. It's 3 boys and 3 girls total, and I'm the youngest out of all of us, so it's 6. And I have 3 brothers and 2 older sisters, and they've always taught me to be tough, to not let anybody or anything get under my skin. I was watching this show. It's a really good show called Monogamy. It's on Urban Movie Channel. It's an app, and you guys need to really get it. It's a really good app. And it's called Monogamy, and it is so good. And one of the guys, he said, a girl called him an onion. And he said, "No, baby, I'm not an onion." He said, "I'm an artichoke." He said, "See, when you peel the layers on the onion, you have nothing. But when you peel the layers on the artichoke, you have the heart." And that's how it is with when you have your guard up. When you always have your guard up, it seems to the person, to the other person, like you're an onion. It's nothing there. They're just boring. They're just, they have too many trust issues. You know, they got too many issues. They got too many problems. But no, it's not that. A lot of the people that have their guard up the most are the most people that have a lot inside of them. Have a lot of dreams, have a lot of love, have a lot of ambitions, have a lot of trust, actually. On the contrary, we have a lot of trust, and we do trust certain people. It's just the people that we have been conditioned not to trust. Our guard goes up like Fort Knox, and nobody can get in. And so having your guard up in a relationship is a really, really dangerous thing. A lot of times people, they like the element of a little bit of chase. You like that, right? A little bit of chase. I like the chase. Okay, chase me. Okay. Okay, did you catch me? I'm playing. Everybody likes, guys like doing the chasing and the girls like being chased and vice versa sometimes. That's very true. However, if the chase never ends, what's going to happen? How far will he chase you before he gives up? How long will you allow yourself to be chased around the playground before just saying, just leave me the fuck alone? How far will he chase you before he says, you are too much trouble? It ain't worth it. I'm gonna find me somebody else. And that's some of the things that I've had to ask myself plenty of times to get myself to really reevaluate my guards and my walls. And now it's not worth it. It's not worth, always thinking that you have control. Yeah, you have control. But if you keep your guard up, that's the only thing you will have is control of yourself. Cause ain't nobody going to be around for you to talk to, for you to be with, for you to laugh with, for you to play with, for you to, go out with. So a lot of times having your guard up is cool and all, but it's not worth it. Sometimes you just need to let it down at the right times, of course, and for the right people. And just let the sun shine into your heart. For real. That is very, very key. Always having your guard up is something that I have to deal with, and it comes from insecurities. If you worked on being authentic with yourself and with your partner, if you worked on communicating with them, and then all of a sudden you put a guard up between them when it go and get hard, when something, unexpected comes up and you're faced with this dilemma in your relationship and you put a guard up, all those steps that you just did would have been for nothing. For nothing. And by this time in your relationship, he probably not even going to get up to chase you no more. And you probably not even going to feel like running. So y'all just going to be stuck staring at each other. Actually staring at a wall in between y'all. So, guard up is a really serious business. Now, I really hope y'all like these. I want to add to them because it's a lot more, of course. It's a lot of things, to be said about relationships. And one day I am just gonna vent about how this generation, about how 2020, it's not it. It's not even with the coronavirus, but just with how we interact with each other. I'm gonna have a video on that. Well, an episode on that. And so I really do hope y'all like these. To recap, the 5 things are going back to the basics, having an open mind, being authentic over being superficial, communicating about your needs, wants, desires, and the last one is guard up. Do not have your guard up at any time in the relationship. I hope you guys enjoy. Please comment. Leave me some love. All right, toodles. I'm not gonna lie, it comes from insecurities. It comes from talking, you know, people telling you as a young kid and telling you when you get older, watch out for this now, watch out for that now. If a guy says this, you know, if a guy says that, if he looks like this, if he looks like that, you know, that those build up, you know, bricks build up when people say that kind of things. But it's also my own insecurities that I don't want people to see, that I'm quite not ready to show yet. I'm quite not ready to wear on my sleeve like a badge of honor, because to me, it's a badge of disgrace. It's a badge of embarrassment. It's a badge of humiliation. And so I know a lot of people don't want to talk about it. A lot of people don't want to even think about it. But always having your guard up is a terrible thing. It's something that is lonely. It's a lonely thing. And so I saved it for last because I feel like if you get all the way to the end, if you did the basics, if you had an open mind,